Thanks everybody for being here today. This is our success training. It's Chief Master Greg Moody, Senior Master Laura Sanborn, and Mr. Dwayne Flees. And we're really excited about being here today. We're going to talk about parenting kids as an adult. I mean, when they're adults. And the idea about this, and even if you have a younger kid, we're going to talk about how the transition between our responsibilities as parents, what's effective as parents over their lifespan is going to be, because we're all going to get our kids to turn into adults after a while. And maybe some of yours already are. So thanks a lot for being here, Mr. Flees and Senior Master.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So you guys know about us. That's who's here today. So everything we do is related to the Karate Built Charter. In this case, it's really the whole charter. It's about discipline. It's about growth, and that we take responsibility to lead with integrity. And that changes, and those roles changes, the way discipline works, the way growth works, and the way we lead our kids changes over time. So let's look at that. And this is the life cycle of parental authority. Hopefully you can read that. It's not too small. First of all, when a kid is young, they are going to be, this is like infant toddler, we have almost an ultimate responsibility when they're an infant to take care of everything, take care of all their needs, take care of their pooping, take care of their food, take care of their mood, take care of comforting them, take care of everything. And we do that for them. And that's a very much a big discrepancy in roles. That's okay, because that's the way it is. They need that to survive. When they're a child, it's a little bit different. I still need to teach them things, help them with skills, hopefully help them develop some morals and values, get them into karate so they can have all those things. You know, do things that are, what are, give, you guys, if you want to get chip in here and give me some other things. As a kid, when, before they're like, let's say 12 years old, we have a lot of things we have to impart on them. Anything else I missed on that list of what we have to impart?
Safe environment.
We have to provide a safe environment, right? We have to provide provide for their needs, their food. Still, we don't have to clean them after their poop, hopefully, but we have to take care of their needs.
Opportunity for education and activities,
right.
And work ethic.
Yeah, and build a work ethic so they kind of learn their own responsibilities. And we've talked about this before, that at this stage, often parents do, we've talked about helicopter parents who hover over their kids, or lawnmower parents who mow down all the obstacles in front of their kids. And this is kind of, to me, the first stage of what we're going to talk about later, which is when they turn into adults and then we don't have good boundaries. Now, at this stage, our job is, I would say we have two things: provide for their needs and try to get them to start doing things on their own. We have to initiate at this stage them doing things on their own. If we don't, then they would be back in this early stage where they just want us to do everything for them. And we've seen kids like this where their parents are even carrying their bag into the school. We tell them the kid needs to do that. The parent is grabbing their tracking card for them. We want the kid to do that, trying to encourage the kid to do as much as they possibly can on their own so that they can move down stages to adolescence, adult, and adulthood. Any other examples I'm missing there, guys?
Just being on top of them for every little thing. Oh, go take your shoes off. Go do this. Go do that. Never having the expectation that their child knows what to do and can go do it.
Very much. And the other thing that I think needs to be established at this age is also what the rules of your house are. Yeah, it's okay as a parent. Your whole job isn't to build your kids. That's an important job. It might even be the most important job. But you've also got like rules in your house. You know, they're not supposed to break things. They're not supposed to grab dessert before their dinner and, you know, steal stuff from their family. And there's some things are rules just because you're establishing them. And that's supposed to be okay. It's okay that there's rules in your house. And that's also going to help them in the future. But regardless, of if it helps them in the future, it's okay to have rules in your house. And we're going to come back to that. It's important to think about boundaries when we come back to that. So kind of remember that. At adolescence, and you guys chip in anytime here, at adolescence, this is, 12 to, puberty age and a little bit older, there's still some things that they need you to help them with. I mean, you have to drive them places probably. You have to pay for most everything. They don't have a job yet for the most part. There's things you have to provide for them and the expectations of what you can do are lower. So that you can see this curve has to do with how much authority we have as parents. At the early ages, we have ultimate authority. And when they're adolescents, ideally we're starting to give them more responsibility. But the other side that we don't like as much sometimes is that we don't have as much authority to change their mind. We don't have as much authority. If I wanted my kid to take physics in high school and he was not into science, so he didn't take physics. I'm like still mad about that. I think physics is super important, but that's one thing I couldn't get him to do. When he was in elementary school, if he was going to go take a class, I just get him in the car and he'd take the class. There's a big difference there. Any comparisons you guys want to add there?
Just as an adolescent, they start choosing for themselves whether it agrees with you or not. So a lot of times that's where there's so many more arguments all the time, is they're testing those boundaries as well.
And oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. No, that was where I was going with it.
Yeah, I think the difference is the two lines here are we have how much authority we have when they're little. When they're an infant, I just stick them in the car. I mean, there's no, I'm not going to ask a question about whether they want to go somewhere. If they're t 12 years old, you may not be able to get them to do stuff. There's certain things you may or may not be able to do. There's certain things you have to get them to do when they're 12 years old or 13 years old. I mean, you have to get them to go to the doctor. You have to get them to do things. But there's a difference between responsibility of what we have to do and our authority ability to control the situation. And this one's a real gray area. Probably should have made this graph in gray. This is the big gray area where I think this is where we have trouble with as parents is how much we let them do, how much we do for them, how much we force them to do, or teach them to push themselves to do, which is more of the way we like to think about it, and how much if they don't do it, we leave alone. So there's a lot of things in this gray area that I think can, as you can see, this slope is really, really steep in this area, that our responsibilities change and our ability to affect what they do changes. And then young adult, like 18 years old and they're adults, we might say they're adults, they think they're adults, but they're not quite adults yet. That we have sometimes some responsibility if they're 18 and they're staying at home because they're going to college. We're paying for their stuff. We have some ability to control certain things if they're going to have a car, they're not going to have a car, if they're going to, what they're going to do. But our ability, we'd like to control, for example, probably a lot of parents would like to control who they date. That usually doesn't work that much. We don't really have any authority about who they date. We start thinking we have responsibility about who they date, and that's typically when we get into trouble. Anything to add kind of on there, guys?
Yeah, if you've spent all of your time trying to build an independent child and then they become independent before you're ready for it, that seems like it's just
That's your own
bound to
fault.
be a problem. Yeah, it's your own fault. It's going to be a problem. You want them to be independent. You want them to be grown up. You want them to be thinking of moving out and doing things on their own. But because that's what you were working towards, but when it hits, you're just not prepared.
And
And
especially goes bad, right? I just was watching a TV show and the kid was supposed to go to Princeton. And the whole family wanted to go, or the kid to go to Princeton. All the people went to Princeton. It was a big deal that they went to Princeton. She applied to Princeton, and then when she got accepted, she turned it down. And the parents are like, "Well, what do you want to do now? What's your plan?" The kid goes, "I don't know." That's the way it may be sometimes. And it's hard for parents to face that. You know, I was really fortunate. My kid already had planned to go to college. I didn't do anything. He just was going to go to college. But if I, it would have been a challenge for me if he said, "Well, I don't know what I want to do," and he just kept staying at home eating ice cream and playing video games. And I think that's where parents get into challenges at this stage. Now, hopefully, what we believe is if you handle it better at the early stages over here, then you're going to have a better luck with it here. But that doesn't mean we even have control over that. What were you going to say, Mr. Fleas?
Yeah, I was going to say even between the mom and the dad, they can have different levels of expectations or control. I know Mrs. Fleece and I do. She's more the one to be the nurturer, go get your stuff and be nice to them, and she calls it loving, which it is. But at the same time, I'm like, no, I think you're stealing some growth.
Yeah, how much are we there? It's a difficult balance to figure out when, especially, we start out at this age where everything loving means taking care of everything for them and controlling their environment. And then at adult stages, you don't have any control over their environment. I mean, you have control of their environment if they're living at home, but you don't have any control over their choices or their actions.
Right.
And what parents, the disconnect is parents feel like they have responsibility here, especially if it goes wrong. The kid that didn't go to Princeton, kid went to Princeton, the parents think, "Oh, pat yourself on the back. I did a good job. I got my kid in school and they went to the school I wanted and they're doing the thing I wanted and everything was fine." The kid that, decides to go to, they're not going to Princeton, they're staying at home, or they're going to work at McDonald's for a while until they figure out what they want to do. The parent feels like they did a bad job. There may have been some challenges in the middle stages that could have been better, but at this point, when you're here, it doesn't matter. At this point, when you're here, it doesn't matter. So, what else were you guys going to add? I feel like I interrupted you.
I was just thinking it wasn't even school. So in my family, the expectation was at 18, you're already leaning towards independence, whether it's going to school, whether it was for my daughter joining the military, going off to be independent. The expectation was you were not living at home at 18. You had someplace already planned to go. And which made my daughter say at 16, well, then can I just go get an apartment now? Just like, no, not happening. But that was my expectation. I thought it was a family expectation until my husband's like, what do you mean you've been telling them they need to leave at 18? I started when they were three telling them they need to leave at 18. And he was thinking, no, they're not leaving at 18. So part of that is a lack of communication over an important subject, but I expected them to be independent. I expected what we did for them on the way up to 18 was help them build those things. Do you know how to make a doctor's appointment? Do you know how to go to the dry cleaners? Do you know how to put gas in a car? Do you know how to cook at least something so you don't starve to death? All of the little things that I was doing along the way to me meant, okay, you can move out at 18 because you're not going to die. And his idea was, oh, well, at 18, we're going to drive him to college every day. I'm like, no, that's not happening. So, yeah, there's the building of the independence for me meant that I could release them into the world. Not necessarily not keep an eye on them, not make sure that they were doing okay, but that I could release independent adults on the world that had an idea how to take care of themselves. And his idea was that at 18, well, yeah, we're paying for college and we're taking care of all that stuff for them. And I'm like, nope.
And you won.
Oh, yeah, I won, but yeah.
Of course.
Which we, Mr. Fleas and I know you well enough to know that you're going to pretty much time. Not because I'm at Dr. Sanborn, but because we know how powerful you are. But anyway, because we don't argue with. But Mr. Fleas, I think you were going to say something too, and get.
Yeah, I forgot what it was.
Okay, you were talking. So, yeah, I think the example you gave of 16-year-old, and she says, okay, fine, I want to get an apartment. Okay, well, then you have a responsibility and you have the authority to say, no, you can't get an apartment. You know, what if they were 12? Of course not. But at 16, it's a little fuzzier. At 18, some parents would say no. Maybe that's a good decision. I'm not telling you it's right or wrong, but it becomes a little less that way as you get older. And so I think what you gave is a just like such a perfect example of authority and responsibility. You absolutely had authority to do both of those things. If it was if she was 24, I mean,
Yep.
you don't have the authority to do anything like that. I mean, when we say authority, we mean the capacity, kind of the capacity to control what that behavior is. If they decide they're going to leave and go out and do it legally, they can do all these things, and legally, and there's all kinds of things they could do. And I think again, the challenge is this came up in my mind because I was working with a martial arts school, and their daughter was working for them. And they were 24 and working for them and not doing a very good job. So there, now there's this conflict of responsibility, and some of us have this where their kids are living at home, and there's the very little ability to control their behavior. We just can't. They're adults. But also, you also have some boundaries that you need to set so that they behave properly. In this case, it was in their business and they needed them to behave properly. But it could even be that they live at home and they're going to college and but they're, throwing parties or staying out all night or doing things and setting some boundaries about what we're willing to accept. And then the other piece would be, what if they're even out of the house, but they're asking for money all the time, and they can't live on their own, so you're having to support them, and you're in a pickle where, gee, they need to learn on their own, they need to survive on their own, and but I want to help them, and that can be kind of a problem that we get stuck in the middle of wanting to help them, and realizing and trying to realize they're not in this stage anymore, they're in this stage, and how do we manage that and still be caring parents?
Yeah, and I
So,
think that's increased if you did all the stuff for them while they were younger, and the kids use manipulation to get you to do stuff for them when they're younger. Now they're adults, and they can guilt trip you into, oh, I guess I'll just have to starve then because I need gas in my car.
yeah, and I've even had clients that I'll use a example that's terrible. I've even had clients that worked with me in my therapy work where they needed their kid was having struggles in high school, and they kept doing stuff for him and doing stuff for him and doing stuff for him, and they were irritated with themselves. They bought him a car and they paid for their gas and they paid for all their stuff, and then the kid wrecked the car and they paid for the car to get fixed. And I'm like, okay, so like, what's the consequence of just them not having a car? Because it's broken. They go, well, if they don't have a car, then they're not going to be able to see their friends. If they don't see their friends, they're going to be depressed. If they're depressed, then and it went downwards. And I will tell you, almost every time with a parent that's struggling with their kid's behavior at that age, it degenerates into, oh no, they're going to commit suicide. That's a tough subject for us to say, in on our call here, but that happens all the time. And I think as parents, we understand that because at this stage, you are literally in charge of their survival. If you don't do the things you're supposed to do, they're not going to survive. It's like that's not a minor thing. At this stage, they might not survive. They might not survive. That's not like okay to hear. And because now you guys can probably, those of you listening on the call too, can think about, well, that's ridiculous what that person said. If they just don't have them have a car. But if we think about it, what's our biggest fear is that something really terrible happens to our kid. That's a huge fear. I worry about that now with my son who's 24. And It's a fear. So even though that chance is really, really small, if we they get into a place where they're not willing to tolerate that small chance. And if I can't tolerate that little tiny itsy bitsy chance that something really, really bad would happen, then they have complete con they then you end up changing your behavior and not setting good boundaries because, well, but if I don't do that, this bad thing could happen. If I don't give them money, then this bad thing could happen. They're going to be homeless. And if they're homeless, they're not going to starve. They're going to starve and all this happens. And I don't think for most of us that happens like a logical thing we've written out and think that it's all going to be true. But in our mind, we can be that way and we can fool ourselves into that little tiny chance that bad thing could happen. Makes it very hard to tolerate setting boundaries. So we're going to talk about setting boundaries now. Anything to add, guys?
Yeah, it's the something bad could happen and it's my fault.
Well, yeah.
And I think that's even a
It's
tighter
my
phrase.
right, and it's my fault, and it's also my responsibility to do something because I'm a parent.
Yeah.
Even though you're here in terms of responsibility. But it's my kid. But it's
Yes.
my kid.
Yeah. I was
See, and
responsible for making my kid so good that nothing can happen to him, but I didn't do that. And now, if something happens, it's my fault from either way back or even, like right now, I'm just not giving him enough money. I'm not giving him enough time. I'm not giving him enough support.
And I think it's very easy for us as parents of kids. Like my kid went to college, and he's got a job. He's doing fine. It's really and your kids are spectacular. But it's really easy for us to go, well, you guys messed this up, and they must have been bad parents, and they must have given up whatever. But here's the secret people don't want to talk about. That identical twin studies where they've taken two twins. So taken twin and twin and separated them at birth, not separated them on purpose, but because for whatever reason they were adopted. So they were adopted and this parent went with this family and this parent or this kid went with one family, one kid went with the other. So they had exactly the same genetics. They were identical genetically, but they were completely different environment. And what they found is these kids ended up behaving about 80% of their personality was the same. It's startling, and we want to think that we have a lot more control than we really do. The older they get, the less control we have over their personality we have as well. So we don't have data on twins separated at adolescent stage. We don't really because there's not that many of them. But twins separated at birth in different environments prove that at least that what we think is, I guess, is a better way to say it more than prove, is that most of their personality is beyond your control. It's genetic, or it's within your control because you gave them the genetics. I guess you gave them the genetics, but you didn't do something that messed them up. And I'm not trying to forgive us as parents. I think we should work really hard to be really good parents and do the things that are better. But here's what I want us to consider for the moment. What if they're already here and you're already having challenges with them? They're 28 and they're living at home and they've never worked and they don't. We know some people, Master Sanborn, I won't, mention. We know some people where the kid's still at home and they have so much anxiety that they don't feel like they can get a job, and it's a real challenge. It's so easy for us that aren't in that situation as parents to look at those parents and go, well, you guys just need to kick them out, or you guys need screwed this up, or you guys need to just do this, or you guys need to do that. And I'm going to help us right now with what to do and setting boundaries in a way that'll hopefully work for people. But hopefully that helps people understand the position that they may be in. Any thoughts on that as we move to the next part?
No, I'm actually looking forward to this part a
So
lot.
the boundaries are, so boundaries are not what people think boundaries are. Let's talk about boundaries. What people think boundaries are is there's me and you, and I'm going to tell you what to do. So I'm going to say, well, here's my boundary. I don't like it when you do this. Here's my boundary. I can't accept that you don't take the trash out every day. See, people think that's a boundary. I'm going to define the behavior that I want you to do because I don't like what you're doing, or I want you to do something different. And we do this, I see this with couples all the time. They come in and say, well, I don't like what they're doing. I don't like what they're doing. And then when it comes to boundaries, they say, okay, well, my boundary is I need them to do this. I need them to hug me every day. So it's defining somebody else's behavior. See, that's not really a boundary. That's telling somebody else what to do and hoping you can control their behavior. And most of the time, it doesn't work. And by the way, when couples come into my office when I do that work, and they say, I want the other person to do something, and they think that therapy is going to help them get what they want. Really, what I have to tell them is the tough news that, well, you've been telling them that for 15 years that you want them to do that, and they haven't done it. So probably that's never, ever going to happen. And then the conversation is, then what? And one of those things that can be the then what is boundaries. And the boundary is a boundary, healthy boundary is defining your availability, nothing to do with their behavior. So it might look like this. Maybe it's somebody who is your best friend, but they always spend most of the time talking about themselves. Your availability might not be to have lunch with them or be in environments with them where they're going to do that. Or maybe somebody likes to drink a lot and, you don't like being around them. Not a boundary is telling them they drink too much and they need to change their behavior. That For if anybody's been in that situation, that usually doesn't work. What can work is how much availability I have. I'm only going to be available for them when it's the time of day that they're typically not drinking, or when they're not in that kind of environment, or even let them know. It's okay to let somebody know, I'm not available for you if that's going to be the way you behave. With the boundary, with the interesting conversation I had in this example I'm using is, the kid lived at home. They're working for the business, and the parents were upset that they weren't performing well. The boundary could be, okay, I will accept you being an employee under these conditions that are our normal employee conditions. If you want to do that, that's great. If you don't do that, that's okay, but you're not going to be an employee here. Now, that's not, they can do whatever they want. The difference between this is I'm not telling that person what to do. What I'm doing is I'm setting a boundary. Here's what's okay with me and what's not. And then you do what you like. Now, if you don't want to provide, comply with those rules, then that becomes, that's your choice. You're just not an employee in that case. Or it could be something where somebody's, I guess if the adult child's living at home and they make a complete mess and they wreck their car, okay, well, here's how much I'm going to pay for your car. Here's how much I'm going to, well, in the case of wrecking their car, I wouldn't recommend paying for anything. But the boundary would be, well, yeah, I'm not going to pay for any repairs on your car. Well, yeah, but then I can't get to work and then I can't. I won't have any money. Okay. That's the end of it. That's what I'm willing to do, what my availability is. They get to choose what they're going to do with that. Does that sound different? Well, let me back up. When I say that to people, usually, here's what parents do. Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm gonna set that boundary, and then they'll probably do this, and they'll probably do that, and they'll figure it out. And the truth is that you don't know what they're gonna do. You don't know if they're gonna choose to comply with your rules. You don't know if they're gonna choose to be better employees. You don't know if they're gonna choose to be responsible with their car. You don't know if they're gonna choose to do those things. And most parents will then cycle back to, yeah, but what do I do then so that they change? By the way, couples too, but this is a different conversation. What do I do so they change? If I do this, then they'll change. That's not what boundaries are. Boundaries are, here's what I'm going to do, and here's what's okay. They may, whatever they're going to do is whatever they're going to do. And if what they're going to do is this, I might make a different choice. If they're gonna, maybe your kid is, likes to drink a lot, and they're 25 and they get drunk all the time. Well, maybe that's not okay for them to live in your house. Well, yeah, but then I'm gonna be on the street. That would suck. I understand that would suck. But if you're gonna live in the house, you can't operate that way. Well, where am I supposed to go? That's a challenge. Do you need some
Okay.
help finding a place? I mean, do you need some help with getting to rehab? I can help. Some examples of that or thoughts on that so far as I'm trying to define boundaries a little bit differently than what most people think boundaries are.
It's just different from actually what I thought they were too. So the challenge of how do I word it so you understand this is it. But I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying this is it as far as I can go. And that's it. You do what you're gonna do. Yeah,
Yeah.
then you that's
gotta.
a different, yeah, for sure, a different thought process on what a boundary was and how they work. So yeah,
And they
that's
have to
definitely something.
figure it out themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not
That's
telling them what to do.
right.
And even how it's presented needs to be clear. They're an independent entity, even an adolescent, independent entity. I mean, they could, your 10-year-old could run out of the house and run down the street and beat somebody up. And I mean, they could do that. Hopefully they don't, but they could do that. Your 20-year-old could get in a lot of bad behaviors. They could do that. And there's a very limited amount of control we have or authority we have to do anything about that. So, also with our spouses or also with other people, also adults. And so then the switch is what we spend so much time and brain damage on is trying to get the other person to change
Yes.
instead of defining the boundary, and then they can make a choice. The challenge is tolerating the consequences of the choice. If they don't make the choice we want, and or enforcing it, what those choices are, what that boundary is, and making sure we're clear about it and stay true to it. That's very difficult. And that's why when people talk about boundaries, it's mostly when people talking about trying to tell the other people what to do or trying to manipulate what their behavior is. I'm going to do this, so hopefully they'll do that. That's not it. That's losing the expectation that you will get what you want. And that might change how you define a boundary. It might change how I'm available at this time and not this time, for this thing that you want to be able to do. And, that's it. That's all I'm available for. Well, yeah, but I want to do this. Or, you pick your own example. Do you guys have some examples you want to walk through? I'm putting you on the spot.
Simple ones with home and, laundry, just getting stuck doing the laundry. Okay, my boundary is I'm going to do my laundry.
Heard somebody say it like this: I'm going to do laundry on Wednesday. If whatever's there is there, if it's not there, it's not there. I'm going to do the laundry. If yours is there, I'll do it. It's fine. But if it's not, it's not. And then Wednesday comes. Now here's the trick. And by the way, this is very similar to the 1-2-3 magic that we teach and as we teach. Here's the trick. Not complaining to them about it. So in other words, Wednesday comes and you tell the whole family, hey, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. You better have a laundry here. Get the laundry here. Get the laundry here. See, now I'm trying to control their behavior. Whereas if you say, I'm doing the laundry on Wednesday. Whoever's is here gets done. If not, then you're on your own. Wear dirty clothes. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but you guys take care of it. And
Right.
less talking about it.
Yes.
Yes.
There's the
See,
there's the thing.
And the magic of this to me is I can control my own behavior. I can't control anybody else's behavior. So I'm controlling my behavior by defining the boundary, and that's then the other people are going to do what they are going to do. And if it works out, that's great. And not judge yourself for them not changing their behavior. I think for kids, that often happens. So let's talk about some more stuff. Yeah, I think this stuff is pretty valuable. And so again, that if it's not if X happens, they will do Y. If X happens, I will do something. Like if we're around and your laundry's not there, I'm gonna do the laundry. Okay, not telling them that, I'm not gonna, don't forget, you're not gonna get the laundry done. So this is, it says the kid, but it's really either an adult too. They still have autonomy to do what they want. Now, often, if you're setting boundaries with younger kids, they don't get what they want if they don't follow the rules around your boundary. They won't get dessert. Maybe in some cases, they don't even get food. What if a kid always is late to dinner and you say dinner's at 6 o'clock? I'm going to give one notice that dinner's ready and you got to be down here. But instead, the kid, I'll use an extreme case, doesn't show up at all. And then they show up around 8 o'clock and say they want their food. Now, some parents will warm their food up and give them their food and say, well, they're going to starve if I don't give them their food. They could. Is that likely? It's probably very unlikely, but they could. So if that your boundary is, I'm going to give one announcement. I'm going to have food ready at 6. Love to have you eat it. Or a lot of parents will talk about the kid doesn't want to eat the food. Okay. Master Samuel, I think your family of a million kids, she had 6 kids in her family, Mr. Fleece. Right? The food was the food.
Yeah, exactly. There
The
was
food,
never any other option.
right, the food was the food. If you don't want chicken nuggets, that's okay. I mean, if you don't want, well, they would have wanted chicken nuggets. If you don't want the broccoli, it's okay. That's the end of the boundary. So that's what boundaries would look like. But the kid has autonomy. They can do whatever they want. So Brené Brown's a really good example for anybody listening. Brené Brown's a great person to all her, especially her two big TED Talks are excellent to listen to. But she has some talks about boundaries. And it's about what's okay and what is not for me, the one setting the boundary, not what is okay or not for you. By the way, anybody that has businesses on here for all of us with businesses, boundaries are the systems and rules we have. The better you apply the systems and rules, then it's not about, they're either going to they're going to comply or they won't. We train them. We teaching and training is one thing, but having set rules like a dress code. It's the dress code. If they don't show up in the right dress code, they don't get to participate. And like we were mentioning, most boundaries people set, not just parents, are behavior demands. Don't have an expectation that their behavior changes. So there's three kind of ways to deal with this. One is setting the boundary, so that's what your availability is, or what you're willing to do, what's okay and what's not. Holding it so that when that happens, when a boundary happens, or a boundary violation happens, or a boundary gets whatever happens, you're going to stay true to what your boundary is. And then the last is, and the hardest is the consequence of what it is. The consequences, including really bad stuff. The 24-year-old daughter of the in the family, if they if maybe the consequence if they if she doesn't want to work and do the work that they ask, then maybe that she doesn't get to she can't stay in the house unless you nobody can stay in the house unless they're working and paying rent. Well, I don't have money for rent. Okay. That's if that's but I'm going to be homeless. I don't want that. Do you need some help so you can, find some job? Maybe you can provide help. That's not violating your boundary, but the boundary is the boundary. And the hard part is tolerating the consequence. And I think even worse, and the secret thing is tolerating the idea of the consequence. Tolerating the idea that if I don't help them now, don't give them what they want now, then this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. If it's a couple, it might be, well, this will, I'll get divorced. If it's a kid, they'll be homeless. If they'll, whatever. So usually parents might do number one, but they won't do two or three. Okay. So here's what's going to happen. Anything to add on that, guys?
No, that's interesting.
No.
Al-Anon, some people on the call may not know what that is. Al-Anon is the organization that works with parents or family members of people that have addiction, very serious addiction. They might be in, somebody might be in rehab, and it's very common for parents, of course, to want to help their kid if they're having problems like this. And what ends up happening is a lot of times helping them perpetuates the addiction because now there's no consequence for the behavior that they're making and the difficulty in them saving themselves from addiction, which is very difficult. And so the Al-Anon principle is you can't save them, but you can stay available. You can be available if they need some help, but you're not trying to save them from what their situation is. So I think that's relevant. So healthy adult parenting, what is it like and what it's going to give you? It should produce less anxiety once you get through that stage of tolerating the consequences and a close and real relationship from a real adult. You're helping them be real adults because you're genuinely treating them like real adults, like real human beings that have their own autonomy. And it's not, you're not promising anything. You're not promising any of these things. And we're not expecting an outcome. Just like if it's your buddy and he's doing something you don't like, you might be there to help them. And you might be sad for sure that they're doing something that's going to cause them problems. But, your job isn't to fix them. As parents, we think that's still our job a lot. And the last part is what's really important. We're doing this so that we stop care, stop suffering. It still may hurt. It still may be tough if our kids are not successful. It may be tough if they're not doing as well as we'd like them to do, but we're still keeping our own autonomy about ourselves. And lastly, it's about you, not about the kid, not about the adult kid, not about the other person. So, wrapping up, anything kind of to wrap up with, guys? This was a darker, not a darker topic, a more in-depth topic than we usually talk about on this. On our success training, but I thought it was important. I thought it was something that was significant.
It just seems like something that has applications to all of your relationships, not just with your kids, but with your spouse, with the people you work with people you meet. That if you have boundaries for yourself and you keep them pretty firm, it's an integrity issue for yourself. Do I have integrity with myself? In that, when I say I won't accept this behavior, I don't accept this behavior, no matter who the other person is.
Or I'm gonna do it, this behavior is this way, that means I do this. I'm gonna make a choice about what to do if this behavior happens. Accept it or not, they can do it.
Yeah, they can do it, but.
I accept that I accept your bad behavior. You're a person. We love you. We care about you. That doesn't mean I'm participating. It's a little tricky because it's not how we normally operate.
No. Yeah.
Usually we spend a lot of time trying to think about, well, I don't like this, so I want to tell them I don't like it. And sometimes they'll change. Sometimes people will, do what you want, but we, the ones that give us stress are the ones that doesn't work, and we keep trying to do it. Any other thoughts, Mr. Fleas?
Yeah, I think I don't know, as martial arts instructors, that might be tougher because we're used to telling people what to do,
Yeah.
expecting them to do it without question. And then, but they also know the consequence. If you do not do what you do, there's a definite consequence. You can't really do that at home with your spouse. It doesn't work as well.
Sure.
Or maybe your neighbor, you can't tell them what to do or what you're going to do. The way we do a martial arts class, so.
Yeah, I think that it's a good example, though, of there's an accepted authority. We have an accepted authority as a teacher, as a martial arts instructor, as a boss. There's this built-in authority that we have. So the curve that we talked about before, the authority is high, our authority to do something, and that's accepted and agreed on. And we're in a, it's a different balance of power. So it's okay to have an imbalance of power. That's what you have when you're the kid is an infant. That's what you have if you're a boss. That's what you have if you're a martial arts instructor. But that changes, that imbalance of power isn't the same when the kid's an adult or with your spouse or with other people. In the situation that came up where they're an employee and they're an adult child, now it becomes complicated because you do have authority, but if you treat them like, you know, the adult child, you don't, you lose your authority. You use your ability to manage the situation like you would if you were a boss. So yes, that makes a lot of sense. And that again illustrates the difference. Where am I at right now? So one way to think about it is, do I actually have authority in this situation? With it, if it's your spouse, it's no, they're that would be an abusive relationship if you grabbed authority without, you know, without I don't know, that usually wouldn't, you would think of that as an abusive situation. In an infant's case, we have tons of authority and tons of responsibility. With your spouse, you have no real authority at all, but you have a lot of responsibility to what the agreements are that you posted. And that's how you build the relationship with your with adults, is agreements on a responsibility. Well, what does that sound like? It sounds like there's an agreement on the boundaries between the interactions and the relationship, and then you decide what to do. So great feedback, guys. I mean, this is awesome. I'm going to add this to the report. We'll post this and have it out for everybody. So let me we'll be wrapping up here. All right. Thank you very much for being here today. Thanks for everybody listening, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir.
This was